and my beautiful wife, Rachel. We are excited this morning. We are going to be bringing the word together, and basically just want to let you guys in on kind of a date day for us. That's our plan today.
Yeah, maybe not really quite like our date day. That would get a little weird, I think, but... Well. You know, but we do want to show you, this is what a typical date night maybe would look like for us in our home. Take a look at the screen.
There it is. Anybody else, can you say that looks like your house sometimes? We have just started recently just turning on some music right before bed because it seems like the right thing to do to settle the kids down. Seems to be working. And thankfully here, Chandler has more clothes on than he normally has. So that is very good. But we are just excited about coming this morning and bringing the word and just talking about some real stuff in our life. Hopefully, maybe that will translate into your lives as well. But especially this morning on a Valentine's week coming up here, obviously we're going to talk about relationships, but we want to talk about more than just husband-wife relationships. We're going to kind of dive into multiple areas this morning.
For sure. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up this Friday. Some of you, that really excites you because you're like, yay, I get a gift. I get some chocolate. I get a nice card. Maybe I'll get some flowers.
Did you say car?
Car would be awesome. No,
oh,
actually,
I have
my dream car. He already bought me my car. I think that covers Valentine's Day for years.
Forever. Till death.
But for some of you, you might hear Valentine's Day and you hate Valentine's Day because it's just another reminder that I don't have somebody. It's a reminder that for some of you, maybe a relationship fell apart. For some of you, maybe you just you haven't found that right person yet. God hasn't brought them into your life.
Some of you are 10 or 11 or 12 in the room, so you've got time. It's
please
okay.
Wait. Please wait. So you might hate it, but I just want to let you in on a little secret. It would be far worse. There are far worse things in your life than not getting a card on Valentine's Day. For instance, as one of my favorite pastors right now would say, you could be married to or dating a blonker. A blonker.
Which we don't know if that is a cuss word in Australia or not. We didn't do the research, but she's from Australia and said it. So
basically, you could be married to an idiot, okay?
Or dating an idiot right now.
So just be thankful that you're not in that situation and you don't have to worry about that, okay? Valentine's Day, it would just... Buy yourself a card if you have to. Buy yourself some chocolate. I see it. I buy myself some chocolate almost every time I go to the grocery store. So
that's true. That is very true.
It's all good. It's all good. But, you know, Jesus really shows us a picture of what true love is. And so this morning, we just want to walk you through a story and some things that we find to be really important, things that we really highly value to have a love that lasts.
In order to have that love that lasts, you have to decide what is most important to you. Like, if you really want to boil it down, you simply have to decide who you are, who the people in your life, what that needs to look like, just what your life in general looks like. And I know in our life, we've decided to focus on a few things that are really easy, three simple things, but three simple things that encapsulate our entire life. Number one is we focus on Jesus. Can anybody help me out? We focus on Jesus above anything else, above feeling or my own idea or my own opinion. We focus on him because it all starts, it all ends with Jesus. We also focus on something right here. We focus on our cause. We focus on our church. We focus on Radiant Life Church. In fact, Rachel and I, we've committed to giving our life to hopefully help you, to help the people of Radiant Life Church grow and mature and become all that you can be in your relationships, in your life, in your home, in your work, in everything that you do, and especially to do that so we can go win one more person for Jesus. Our cause is very valuable to us. In fact, this week, we had opportunity yesterday. There were 400-ish people in the building for Teen Girl Conference. They're not our Radiant Life family, but our Assembly of God, our church family. They were here with us, and it's possible that during one of the breaks, I may have laid down in the sound booth right back there, and I may have slept for like 30 minutes. I was worn out, but it's worth it. The cause is worth it because we got to see hundreds of girls commit themselves to be empowered in God and to empower those around them. We got to reach out to our larger church group. As we hate to have a funeral, but as we got to host a funeral for Jim Palmer. And we literally had people fly in from all over the world, from Sweden, from all over the place to come and to celebrate Jim Palmer's life. And I love when our cause gets to be about us, about what God's doing here as well as around the world, because it's valuable. We value it, and I pray that you do as well. So Jesus, our cause, and then our tribe. Not in that order, but our tribe, which would be our family, our kids, maybe personal friends, people that we do life with. Those three things we value so much, and we believe God has laid those things in our heart to go after with everything we have. To, as you just saw our kids running around, to deal with any discomfort or too much noise or whatever it takes, we value that, our family, our tribe. You know, once we know what to focus on, where we want that love to be, we can then look at how to do it. And we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. And I encourage you this week to get on there and to study yourself. There's more to it than what we're going to look at today. But looking at the prodigal son. And this morning, Pastor Rachel, she's going to read that story, Luke 15, 11 through 24.
All right, it says, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. The first thing that we notice in this is that to build a love that lasts, you must have commitment. Luke 15, 12 and 14 says, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. You know, we live in a culture that no longer values commitment. We are looking for the casual thing. We're looking for the quick and the easy thing. And it's no longer something that has a value. That commitment no longer is valued. Marriage is no longer something we fight for. It's just something that we give up on when it gets a little too hard. When somebody doesn't talk to me the right way, or when somebody doesn't treat me the right way, we give up on that friendship. We leave that church because they said one thing that I didn't agree with. There's no longer this commitment, the hard work that we have. Commitment's a hard word, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And when you look at this father, can you imagine if your son comes to you and basically is saying, I wish you were dead. I want what is coming to me when you die. I want it now. And I want to go leave. This father had some serious choices, I would say, to make. What was he going to do? And he was so committed to his son, to loving his son, that he even was willing to say, okay, we'll split it up. Here's your half. Go. Do what you will. But that commitment didn't just stop there in that moment. He loved his son. You can imagine him just crying out for his son and caring for his son, a commitment that went beyond his son doing what he wanted him to. In fact, I don't know what dad would feel, but I would feel if my son Jordan comes and says, I want my inheritance now. First of all, I'd say, okay, here's a 20. You're good to go. But secondly, it might not be the moment when you're like, yes, perfect, I'm going to go sell half my stuff and I'm going to give it to you. That would be exactly what I want to do. But this dad said, I love you, I care for you, and I'm even going to honor you in the mess that you are making. He had to know this was not going to end up well. Now, when Rachel and I, when we met each other almost 15 years ago, or 16 years ago, 15 years, met 16, okay, I was going to say we're almost to 15 years of marriage. So we were at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I was a senior. I had done it in 3 years, lots of credit hours, and worked hard, actually, so I could get back here for the opening of this building. I was like, I cannot be at school when they move into the new building. That would be terrible, so I'll just take 20-some credit hours every semester. And Rachel comes in as a freshman. I was the RA of the orientation group, basically. And when I saw her, I pretty much said, this is the one I'm going to marry. It was like an obvious thing. Now, her mom was watching at CBC. The back was all windows, and she was on the outside of those windows. And she told Rachel after we were done with our meeting, he was only talking to you. He likes you. He has fallen for you, girl. Like, and that was 100%
the truth. And
listen,
it was a special thing, guys. I had, like, bleached blonde hair, which was just lovely, and it was crimped.
It was crimped bleached blonde hair.
And I would love to say that it's because that was what was in style, but it was not what was in style.
Maybe that's what drew me to you. I don't know.
Maybe.
You stood out big time.
I was just glowing in the chapel, standing there worshiping. The light's just glowing off of me. It was fantastic.
But if you know us, 8 months from that day, we got married. We met. We got engaged at Christmas. We got married in May. Like, it was super, super fast. There's some people out here in this section that have been dating a long time. They're on the opposite side of that. They're like, we're going to do this, although in October or Christmas is coming. Super excited. But we went on the 8-month plan, and that meant one thing. It meant immediately I needed to know what her family was like. I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. I'm sure of it. I need to know what her family's like. Is her family committed? Are her parents committed to one another? As a rule of who they are, is this the norm that they stick with and they're committed to the things that they do? And so I could look at her parents, and they had a great marriage. I could look at her unsaved family members, who they may not have even had. I would say they could have had a good marriage, or maybe not. Guess what? They were committed to one another. There was no divorce in her family. Now, that is pretty rare in our day and age. But the commitment that I saw that had been entrusted and been poured into her made me feel confident that in 8 months, I knew, but in 4 months, I could ask her to marry me. In 8 months, I could say, this is it. We're going to get married. And we walked down the aisle, actually at our other building on Avery Road, and we could say, this is it, because we're committed. No matter what the first year was like, can you imagine, ladies, if you got to come to your boyfriend, then fiance, then husband's church, where all of the people are his friends, all of the people then going to be on staff and rip her from all of her friends and say, now you're just going to be friends with all of my friends. It's just natural. Super simple.
I legitimately, the first year we were married, had a couple times where people told me, oh, you look just like his ex-girlfriend. He must have a type. Or being handed.
Some of you are still in the room.
Being handed her foundation's homework, saying, here is your homework. And I'm like, yep, that's not me, but thanks so much.
That was Aaron, my ex-girlfriend's homework.
Special. It was special moments.
That's not too easy. But we were committed to one another, and because of a commitment, then we knew we were going to make it through whatever happened, whatever life would throw at us, because it wasn't going to be, this is tough, so we're just going to stop. That's not an option. It's not an option when it comes to commitment.
When we put that commitment towards the things that we want to focus on, having a love lasting, when we look at Jesus, we don't get to pick and choose with Jesus what we're committed to and what we're not. We need to follow him. We need to read his word. We need to pray. We need to do those things and be committed to that. When it comes to the church and our cause, it no longer matters what song we sing on a Sunday morning, like Pastor Matt was saying this morning about singing a song about Jesus. If you're listening to the words, then we can praise him, whether we like what that song sounds like or not. There's plenty songs that I wish we would do on a Sunday morning, and it's just not the right time. If you played every song, we could have a new song every single week, and we would never be able to join together in that. But it doesn't matter if that's what I want to do or what I want, because I'm committed to the church and I'm committed to what the church stands for and what the church believes in. So my preferences go out the window. If I don't like the paint color, or I don't like the fog, or I don't like a person that's here, that doesn't matter because my preferences, they go out the window when I'm committed to the cause and committed to what Jesus is doing. When that can be my focus, when I can focus more on the why and the what's happening than on what I prefer and on what I like, that just goes out the window.
When I'm committed to my tribe, I lay myself down. Now, right now, I think of my dad. We are in the middle. We is a strong term. It's mostly dad. I will leave it for him. But we're in the middle of finishing our basement. All of our kids are going to have their own bedrooms. And it's going to be really nice and a special place for them, each one. And so Pastor Dave is coming over to my house 2, 3, 4 times a week to throw mud on the wall and to sand the walls and to get it ready so that the kids can do it. Now, I ambitiously started this plan believing I was going to do more, and I think now Dad's like, you've bailed on me, I'm pretty sure. He hasn't said that, but I'm pretty sure that's the feeling. Weeks like this, I'm like, I see as I drive to church, Dad's driving to my house to go throw some more mud on the wall. We're committed to our tribe, and we lay our own self, our own desires, what's easier for us down. We can handle a night where kids are running around the room, and by a night, we can handle every night where kids are running around the room. Because they're our kids, they're our family, they're our team, they're the people we do life with. I will look past what annoys me. Not that anything with Rachel would ever annoy me, thankfully. I will look past that look that is given, or maybe she has to look past that look more often. Maybe we have to look past the look that our daughter would give us sometimes, one or two of them, right? I might not always like, if I'm allowed to say this, every person in my family every moment. I might not always like in my church, this isn't anybody specific, but I might not always like every single one of you or the situations that arise. But we love our team, we love our tribe, we love our cause, we love one another, no matter what the situation is, because it's a commitment of our hearts. You know, we think about that. Commitment is where it starts, but it's not just being committed, because I can be committed to something, and that'd be fine, but it may not go anywhere long term. But to build a love that lasts, you must also have consistency. Luke 15:20 says, the dad says that he arose and came to his, or I'm sorry, the son, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him.
Something that really stood out to me when we were reading this story is the phrase in there that says, as he was still a long way off. So I don't know about you, but when I'm outside, when I'm going to work, when I'm outside doing things, when I'm focused on something, I'm not looking out beyond, right? Like normally you're looking down here, you're looking at the task ahead, you're looking at what you're doing, and you're not looking out in a distance. In fact, in the wintertime, I think it's really funny when all the leaves fall off the trees and you take a glance out and you're like, when did that house get there? I never saw that house before, right? And so that's me on a typical basis when I'm just doing my everyday thing. And we don't know. I tried to find how long the son was gone, and I couldn't find how long that son had been gone. But for the father to see him a long way off, he had to have been looking for him. He had to have been looking every day, looking up and glancing out, searching for his son. Because if he hadn't been, I don't know that he would have noticed him a long way off. Right? And so he consistently, I believe he was praying for his son, that he was saying, God, I don't know when he's coming home. I don't know what's happening in his life, but I'm looking for him, and I'm looking for him to come home. It was consistent every day, because if he took one day off, he wasn't seeing his son a long way off.
And you know, the other part in that is that it says that he ran, and their day, that was not what the man would do. He would not have ran. But he was looking, and he cared, and he made it happen. And when he saw him, he said, I'm never letting him go again. I can just imagine. Ran him down, found him, and pursued him. There was a consistency to what he did. In our cause, in the church, our consistency is important to the body as a whole. I mentioned this week that we, as Radiant Life Church, had the opportunity to continue in consistency. And we had person after person after person. The superintendent of the Assemblies of God, who called Dad and said, your church, you guys are always consistent. You always do things well. You always do things in a powerful and in a good way. yesterday at the girls' conference, closing it out, they said, "We are so happy that we get to come to Radiant Life Church because things are always done well." There's a consistency that takes place. And when I think about that, if we as individuals, when we as a group are not walking consistently, then we're going to miss something. We're going to miss each other. In fact, if this morning no one's in the nursery, there's some of you in this room that's going to be a serious problem. You've got some kids, and what are you going to do, and how are we going to make it happen? If we miss somebody, if all of a sudden the sound man, if Brett is gone, guess what? All of a sudden when the mic goes crazy or something happens or something's not on, there's no one there to make it happen. But even on the maybe the most important level, on a Sunday morning, if we're not here for one another, just sitting in the seats, if we're not here just being apart, then the person next to you doesn't have you worshiping, doesn't have you maybe raising your hands, or doesn't have you coming down to the front. They don't get to see the example you are just from doing what you do at church, from loving Jesus. In small groups, we miss it if we're not consistent and we're not a part of what God has for us. Pastor Joe and Ashley, they mentioned that I missed our first life group. That was on Friday night. We were coming back from Tennessee from a Multiply cohort, learning how to multiply Radiant Life Church and to grow and to see new campuses. I hated it. That was like the worst thing. I may have thought for just a few minutes back to college days since I mentioned it. If we drive 99 miles per hour, nope, still can't get home. That was just like a real, like, I wasn't actually going to do it because I don't speed like that anymore. Driving's much safer, way, way safer. Drive the speed limit. But right, it was like, I want to be back for my team. Is there anything I can do to get back in time? Because our cause, our people, our tribe, there's a consistency that I always want to walk in and people see. Pastor Rachel, a few months ago, she stepped down from being on the worship team. She'd play piano, she would sing, she would lead a song occasionally on Wednesday nights, and she felt that it was important to say, you know what, I think the most consistent place that I can be and to support me is to stand up here, right there, at that chair, and to worship Jesus every single Sunday, where there's no doubt of where she is, because she's going to be there. When church starts, she's going to be there. I may or may not be there, but she's going to be there, ready to roll. There's something about just consistency and knowing who we are and why we do what we do and sticking with it and not missing it. Because I just want you to know, you matter to this community. You matter to the people around you more than you can ever know. Consistency is so important.
Even in our families and in our friendships, it's important to be consistent. You know, we joke about Valentine's Day, but honestly, I don't need a day of the year to be reminded that my husband loves me, or for me to remind him that I love him, because we are consistently telling one another on a daily basis. Not a day goes by, not a phone call do we hang up on, not a moment does one of us leave the house where we're not saying, "I love you," before they leave the house. There's not a day that goes by that I don't tell one of my kids that I love them. In fact, Chandler actually does a really funny thing. Why don't you share that?
So every time, we say love you all the time. So now both of us will say, "Hey, Chandler, guess what?" It's like, "You love me," over and over and over again. We ask him all the time, "Hey, Chandler, guess what? You love me." And it depends on his attitude, whether it's annoying, like we say it enough that it's annoying, or other times it's like he lights up because he knows it doesn't matter what the situation, what's going on. He knows his parents love him. There's nothing better than that.
So saying I love you, you know what, men, let me just talk to you for a minute. It does not make you weak to tell your wife that you love her or to tell your kids that you love them. I was watching something recent, I don't remember what it was, but where the guy was like, I never really told my dad I love him. And I didn't necessarily doubt that he loved me, but we never said that to one another. And he's like, "I'm not going to do that. I've decided in my heart that I'm going to let my kids know that I love them." So there's not a question, that there's no doubt. And it doesn't make you weak to be vulnerable. It does not make you weak to say that. In fact, it makes you strong. I look up to my husband more when he's able to share with me what he's thinking, when he's able to share with me how he's feeling, than when he doesn't. And he knows that. And so that's just something in our lives that we've made sure that we want to do, to say we love you, to say, "I choose you. I'll choose you over and over and over without pause, without a doubt, in a heartbeat. I'll keep choosing you." And that's something we're consistently going to tell each other. Lastly, another thing that we're finding in this story is that to build a love that lasts, we have to celebrate one another. It says in verses 22 through 24, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate."
There's something that happens when a celebration takes place. Now, some of you in the room, you don't like it when people make over you. You don't like it when people talk about you. However, I know deep inside, every once in a while, there's an opportunity where we get to surprise somebody and get to make over someone that doesn't like to have that attention. There's something for each and every one of us that when you're celebrated, when you're thanked, that you just light up. You light up. There's nothing better than when someone comes up and says, "Wow, what an amazing job. What a great thing you did." When you feel celebrated, and where you feel celebrated, you stay. Where you feel celebrated, you don't want to leave. Where you feel celebrated, you want to stick around as long as possible. In fact, I think sometimes in small groups or in times when we're together as a family or together, when people feel good about themselves, when they feel celebrated, they never want to leave. I would say Elizabeth, our oldest, she never wants to leave at night when we're going to bed. I think because she's the most talkative at that time, so she loves it. And we're talking, and she feels celebrated because we're paying attention to her, until finally we have to be like, it's time to go to bed. A little too much celebration, so she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to go to bed. And I believe in our life, we have to find ways to celebrate, to lift one another up, to encourage one another. If you're a husband and wife in here, you may not have the best relationship yet, but you know how you can start and get a better one? Is start celebrating. Start saying you love each other. Start thanking one another. Start encouraging. Maybe if you don't have the best friendships, maybe you just struggle on a basic level. I'll tell you what, start thanking people, start encouraging people, start celebrating people. Maybe you don't have a good relationship with your employees or people at your work, or maybe you're the boss, or maybe you're not. Guess what you should do? Start celebrating people. Start lifting them up. Start encouraging them. Because when we celebrate, where we celebrate, we do not want to leave. And I just love the fact that I can celebrate with Jesus. I can give him thanks. I can worship him. That's why Sunday mornings are my favorite, our favorite, our family's favorite, because we get to worship Jesus and we get to celebrate one another, encourage one another, and we get to leave empowered to walk in Jesus and who he is. And there's nothing better than these moments of celebration and encouraging one another.
I can celebrate my church. We can celebrate you. We love to honor people. I find it such a joy to get to celebrate with you guys, the things that you're doing and our teams and stuff. In fact, in a couple months, we're going to be doing our volunteer banquet. This year is going to look a little different, so if you really love your Der Dutchman, you might want to go there on your own.
Real fast, if you're not serving yet, then you need to get on a team so you can come to this. It's going to be fun. You don't want to miss it.
It's going to be fun. We're going to dress up. We're going to just celebrate you, because we truly believe that when we gather together, where we're on teams and when we're helping one another, that life is better. And so we want to celebrate that. We want to say thank you. We love to honor one another. And when somebody points something out in you, it feels good to know, wow, that little thing I did was noticed. And what I do and what I give and when I'm consistent and when I'm committed, that people notice that and they can celebrate that. When you do that for your spouse or for your friends or for your kids, where you say, hey, I noticed this. I noticed what you did. You could, like he said, you could have things that just really annoy you about your friends or about your spouse or about your kids. But if you can find those little things that you can celebrate, man, that love is going to grow. That love is going to last when we can find those ways to celebrate.
We see in this story, there's the first son. He wanted money. He wanted a good time. He cared about himself. That's where it boiled down to. The second son, and we didn't really get into him, but he was all about pride and position. He worked hard, and because he worked hard, he wanted his father's reward and blessing on his life. And we see a father that, so thankfully, he was committed to both of his sons, to loving his sons, to caring for his sons. But he was consistent in words, a belief, a prayer, to stay until they were united, to keep looking and keep searching for his son. And when his son came home, he celebrated. And today, I believe there's people in this room that you're on all levels. Maybe you say, I don't feel celebrated. Maybe you feel like you're the prodigal son. Or maybe you feel like you've just continued to do what you were supposed to do over and over and over and over and over again. Today, I believe there's a God who he wants you to know that he loves you. He cares for you. And he chooses you. He's consistent. He's been walking with you every moment and every step.
You know, the world is looking for us to build a love that looks different from what they see. And sometimes I think this is, you know, our sermon's about real talk. If I can have real talk for a minute, that the things that we're watching and the things that we're putting expectations on one another for are not like what we watch on TV. And if that's the love that we're trying to build, the love that we're looking for, it's not gonna last. Your love will fail if you're expecting your husband to do what it looks like on TV, or if what you're feeling in your mind, I mean, I know a lot of people that watch The Bachelor every Monday night, that's your thing. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but when you look at that and you look at the example that these people are setting up for you, that I get to just pick and choose. I get to choose which person I give a key to that night to spend the night with me in my room. That's tearing true love apart. And if you want a love that lasts, you have to have a love that looks different from the world. It has to be a love that respects one another and honors one another and treats one another differently than what we see on TV. You watch the romantic comedies that show you, oh, this man should just lavish his love on me. That if he's not taking me on elaborate dates, then what kind of man is he? You know, Chris and I were recently watching a new movie that's going to come out. And when it comes out, you should see it because it's an incredible example of faith and what that looks like even when things don't happen the way you expect them to. But in this movie, it's called I Still Believe, and it's the story of Jeremy Camp. And if you don't know his story, he married his wife after he knew she was sick. She was dying, and they were believing for healing to take place. But in this, Jeremy Camp was super romantic. Like, he set up this whole big elaborate thing, even within a hospital, went out of his way to show her this love. And that easily could have been a moment where I sat and thought, man, I wish my husband was more romantic. I wish that he cared about me that way. And you start to think, well, he must not love me if he doesn't do that sort of thing. I didn't go there, but that's what you could easily do. So that night, he apparently thought that a little bit. Because that night, we're laying in bed getting ready to go to sleep, and he rolls over and he says to me, he's like, Rachel, I'm sorry that I'm not as romantic as Jeremy Camp, but I want you to know that I love you, that I appreciate you. And you know what? Those things, those words go beyond any lavish gift, any card that I could get on Valentine's Day, any dozen roses that I could have laying on the floor of my home. To be told that I'm appreciated, the little things that I do, that they matter, and that's what he notices. Throw your kindness around like confetti so that everywhere you go, a little bit of confetti goes with you. Because if you've ever seen confetti along the ground, Pastor Phil hates it when there's a confetti cannon in this room because you can't get that glitter up off the floor. Do that to the people around you, that everywhere you go, there's a little bit of that that follows you and goes where you go. Celebrate that way.
You know, when we close this time out, being committed, being consistent, and celebrating one another. In every relationship, in every job, in everything you ever do in your life, if those three things happen, you're committed, you're consistent, and you're consistent in the right things, obviously, but you're willing to celebrate the people around you, then you're going to do well. You're going to do well. And if you're here today and you do hate this, you're one of those that hate Valentine's week, let me encourage you something. Focus on Jesus. Focus on you being who you are called to be. Focus on the commitment that you're going to have for others. And do something crazy. Do something nice for a friend. Do something nice. Encourage somebody else this Valentine's Day. Don't let it just be about, oh man, I wish. But say, who can I encourage? And I guarantee you, you will be able to have a good Valentine's as you bless someone around you. And if you have somebody in your life, if you have a spouse or someone that maybe you're in a serious relationship with, I encourage you, don't just do the fun, nice stuff, but use your words. Tell them what they really mean to you. Over a nice gift or a nice thing or nice chocolates, let them experience your love. As friends, let them know what you really think of them. Tell your friends what they mean to you. Tell your friends that maybe about times when they've helped you get through hard times. Be real. Be honest. Let the people around you know who you are, that God has the best things for you.
So women, Oscar Wilde says, you don't love someone for their looks, for their clothes, or for their fancy car, but because they sing a song only you can hear. If I learned one thing about being around men, it's this. Stop expecting men to be women. He wasn't created like you were. Don't stop expecting him to be your girlfriend. You're not going to understand everything about him. Stop measuring his worth by your values. Stop filtering his masculinity by what you see on TV.
Men, romantic love has no elasticity. It can never be stretched. It simply shatters. If I've learned anything about ladies and this lady in my life, is stop expecting her to be like you. Stop expecting her to want what you want. She wasn't created like you. You won't understand everything about her. Stop measuring her worth by your values and stop filtering her beauty by what you see on TV.
And Radiant Family, we're all imperfect people who receive grace from a perfect God. We then need to extend that grace to those around us. If we've learned some things about the church and about our friendships and relationships, it's this: to stop expecting the people around you to be like you.
Stop expecting them to want what you want.
They were not raised like you were.
You won't understand everything about them.
Stop measuring their worth by your values.
Stop filtering their effectiveness based on your ideal situation.
This time, if we could just stand all across this place. I just want to leave you with an encouragement here at the end. Encourage the people around you. Speak kindly to them. You don't know what their situations look like. We base everything off the filter that we see things through. You don't know what their home looks like. You don't know how they were raised. You don't know what their situation looks like. Speak kindness. Understand that they need encouragement, that they need unconditional love. This is your friendships. This is your relationships with your husband or your wife. We can learn a lot from the father of the prodigal son, that he did not let what was basically, I wish that you were dead, I wish that you were gone, stop him from having a love that goes beyond and looks for forgiveness, that loves no matter what and celebrates even the little things, celebrates those moments. If we can shift our thinking in those ways, then your relationships are going to go the distance. It's going to be a love that lasts. Don't nag one another. Don't make threats to one another. Don't hold things against each other. Don't disrespect. Share grace, just like the grace that you wish would be extended to you. Give that grace to the people around you. So as we're going to close in prayer, I just want you to think in your heart for a minute. Are you loving Christ? Are you loving your cause? Are you committed to this church? Are you consistent in your relationships? Are you loving your tribe well? The people around you, your friends, your spouse, the people here, family, are you loving them well? We're going to close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much today, God, for a challenge that lets us know, God, we need to be committed in all that we do. Father, that we need to be consistent. We need to do the hard thing day in and day out. We need to show up and we need to keep showing up. Even when it's hard, even when it doesn't look the way we think it should, God, that we show up and we're consistent. And God, that we celebrate. God, I thank you that we can be in a place like this today where we can celebrate you, where we can celebrate one another. We can lift each other up, God. I thank you for this encouragement today. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to find one area that we could do a little bit better, that we could commit to, God, an area that we could celebrate, Lord. God, I pray that husbands and wives, parents, friends would find something in their relationships, God, that they could celebrate today, that they could say, I saw you, I saw this, I noticed it, and thank you. Thank you. God, I just thank you so much. You're so good. And I thank you for your love most of all. God, that extends beyond anything we ever do, God, that you extend that grace to us each and every day, Lord. Thank you for your love. You're so gracious and kind. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rachel. This was so much fun. And before we head out today, I just want to be sure of a couple things that are super easy when we think of community. The bottom of your bulletin, the last few weeks, we have this awesome place to put your name, a prayer need, and somebody that you want to come and to find Jesus. And so I encourage you, if you are not, get in the habit of every week. I would love to have a few hundred of these every week. You fold these things in half. If you do it three times, right on the line, it'll just tear off, almost like it's perforated. It's going to work. There we go. It works. Woo! Just like that. Hand this to me. You could put it in the offering on a normal Sunday or the tithe box in the back, but you can make it happen. And I would encourage you, let's be together, community, praying for one another. We're having so much fun on Wednesday nights, praying for the needs of our family. So join us on Wednesday nights. Come be a part of that. As was mentioned earlier, life groups this weekend. If you're not a part of a small group here at Radiant Life, go sign up. We'd love to get you plugged in to that. And next week, I just want to prepare you. We're going to start talking about our missions trip, and we're going to be going to Africa, to Tanzania, the end of September. And I encourage you, what a great way to go beyond our tribe right here, one of our own cause, but to go overseas and to bless. And we're going to be able to help build a school, and then we're going to be also ministering to the families of a village. And the goal is that once a school is made, almost all of that community will go to that school, because there's no other school to go to out in the village, out in the bush. And so we're going to be a part. And I encourage you to begin praying now. Would you want to go and be a part of it? For Africa, it's going to be super cheap. Sunday, we're hoping to have a pretty much final price. You can bring your younger ones, 12, 13, or over. You can make it a family ordeal. We can take up to 20. I would love to take 20, which means we need 10 or so guys or ladies that you can build construction. They don't have things like automatic anything. So everything that happens is hand done. Concrete and all that. It's going to be fun. Pastor Dave's excited about it. He's going to be with us leading that. And I encourage you, if you want to come and you want to have the paradigm of your of life, of the world change, there's nothing like going over and seeing people. So we'd love to have you come and join us. I'm excited as we're going to do ministry. Like I said, it can be family. If you're a builder, awesome. If not, we're going to have other parts all day long to bless that village, that community.